Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
What is up, family? This is Speak. Breaking news in the NFL world. The Raiders have officially hired their head coach, Antonio Pierce.
Raiders, tell us on today.
You see me.
It's Hoodie Friday.
It is Hoodie Friday. This is huge, absolutely huge news. George Taylor, how are you feeling today, Friday?
I'm feeling great. I'm happy for Antonio Pierce, yeah, for the Raiders. Mm-hmm. Can we do it? Am I allowed to do it?
Go ahead. George, hit it. Let me see you hit it.
I love it. Well, James Jones, I am honored because you have more insight to this news, to this breaking news, than anybody on television. You're literally a former Raider, but more than that, you've been inside the building, inside the walls in the last 2 weeks. I know you've had several conversations, some of which you can share publicly, some of which you can't. What you can share publicly, what do you know? What led up to this breaking news decision?
Well, yeah, I mean, I had a lot of conversations with Mark on the football field, you know, in the building, and I basically told him that this the dude, like, this is your guy right here, you know, and I understand it's a lot of sexy hires out there and all that, but what Antonio Pierce has done in this building with the locker room, like, the players is coming out saying that they want trades day near if Antonio Pierce don't get the job.
Mm-hmm.
But what he has done with the locker room, what he has done with this team, I mean, we could go down the list on the numbers of the defense that, you know, defensive numbers that he changed, but he just changed the culture immediately, right when he became the interim head coach. He changed the culture. He had the guys believing, whether it was star players, whether it was coaches, whatever it may be, he had those guys believing. And I told Mark, if you are going to go with a young coordinator, whether it's defense or offense, you might as well give Antonio Pierce a chance.
You said you told Mark when? Because we're talking about the owner right now.
Owner,
literally
Mark.
The owner of the Raiders. Mm-hmm. What do you mean you told Mark? You texted him? You called him? You're on social media? Like, what do you mean? When did y'all have this conversation?
Me and Mark had a conversation probably a couple weeks ago. You know what I mean? Before, well, a little bit more than a couple weeks. Before the Raiders' last home game. Last game against the Broncos. And, you know, I told him, if you're going to go with a young coordinator, not saying that he made it because of me, but if you're going to go with a young coordinator that has never been a head coach, that you hope he can come in here and be what you want him to be, you might as well give Antonio Pierce a chance to get this thing done, because we have seen over these last 8 weeks him completely change this organization. The way the guys was playing on the football field, the way the guys responded to him, the energy and effort that they played with. The Raiders were out of the playoffs. And you couldn't tell when they played the Broncos. Them boys was flying. It's just a different culture that he built over there. And I'm like, if you're going to give a young guy a chance, you might as well give Antonio Pierce a chance, who has a stranglehold on this locker room, who guys believe with what he says is going to happen. I think this is a great hire for the Las Vegas Raiders. I'm excited. My dog AP is in the building, and I know he has a plan on how he's going to get this thing turned around.
Joy, did the Raiders get it right? They've tried John Gruden. They've tried Josh McDaniels. Mm-hmm. They've tried with big hires, with sexy hires, with coaches that have won Super Bowls before in Gruden, offensive coordinators in Mike McDaniels that have won Super Bowls, plural, that have coached the greatest quarterback of all time in Tom Brady. So it's not like the Raiders haven't hired big head coaches, haven't hired credentialed head coaches, but now they hire Antonio Pierce. No head coaching experience outside of interim. Not a lot of coaching experience in totality. Do you think they got it right?
Yeah, I do think they got it right. And they've been getting it wrong for way longer than that. I got a lot of stats here. We don't need to talk about old stuff, but in in case we do want to talk about old stuff, it's all right here. It's been bad for the Raiders for a long time, which is why Raiders fans were mad at me. Yeah, you can look it over. You know, we can hide that. It's a lot. That's why Raiders fans were mad at me earlier in the season when I said that it's been a failure, because it really has been. It's been a failure of historical levels. They've gone through a lot of coaches, a lot of changes, a lot of different tries here and there. Does this work? Does that work? We'll pay this guy to this. We'll bring in this person that's done this. And it's really never felt inspiring. Mm-hmm. And there's something about the Raiders that just has to have that little extra thing.
Yep.
That little extra sizzle.
No doubt.
That little extra toughness, because that's the brand of the Raiders. And despite all of these failures, the Raiders have kept that brand, mm-hmm. which is really impressive, because sometimes you can go through a really bad stretch and the brand loses its luster. And they've never done that. So that's partly because of the fan base, which is commendable, but also the greats that have walked those halls over the years. The one thing that I love about what Antonio Pierce has done and why they're sticking with him is that he is inspiring. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that in the whole, you know, rah-rah sense. If you can get players to play differently, mm-hmm. when you know that you do not have a chance at the postseason, you really don't have a chance to win when it matters most. Mm-hmm. You guys know, you're professionals. It's like when you were in college, like, okay, if I don't get an A on this paper, I can still go on and be Joy Taylor on Speak.
Yeah.
Okay, so like you're kind of giving me some slack here for not doing well, but I know what the bigger picture is. That's how it is with professionals. You get a check, okay, I can lose this game. It's not really going to matter because everyone expects us to lose. Mm-hmm. So when you can inspire players like that, when you can change the culture, which I think is a big part of what Dan Campbell did with Detroit.
No doubt.
Changing the energy and the culture in a building, especially for a place that has had habitual losing, is very important. You have your best players on board. You have the fan base on board. You have former players on board. Yep. And when you talk about his coaching experience, I take the coordinator part out if you've been an interim. Now, I know that that's probably a big swing, because obviously I'm not making light of being a coordinator in the NFL. But he was coaching in high school back in 2014. Mm-hmm. It's 2024 now. He's worked under Herm Edwards. He was on the Raiders staff. Like, it's not like he has skipped all versions of being a coach at the professional level, on top of being a player, and at the college level. So he does have some experience, and he's been an interim now. So I do get a little bit of the concern of not being a coordinator, but being that you were in the building and you were able to make this even slight cultural change, to me, is important enough to give him another opportunity.
Let's have the nuance of the conversation. Obviously, we can all sit up here and wax poetically. We're glad he got hired. He's a former player. He's a black man. Not enough black head coaches, former players. As former players, Joy, you've been a part of the game for a long time. We all love to see that. But let me ask you all the real questions that people might not talk about today. John Gruden,
mm-hmm.
he won a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Incredibly hard to do. A Super Bowl.
Yeah.
The Raiders respected him so much that they gave him $100 million dollars to become their head coach. Mm-hmm. John Gruden at the time was one of the most widely respected minds in football ever.
Yeah.
It didn't work out. Now, before it didn't work out with his character issues, it didn't work out winning.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Josh McDaniels, brilliant offensive mind, won Super Bowls plural mm-hmm. with Tom Brady. Mm-hmm. Super Bowls plural, coach one of the greatest ever. It didn't work out.
Yeah.
I know from personal experience, and I'm sure you all know from personal experience, it's easy to catch lightning for a little bit. Mm-hmm. And the lightning that Antonio Pierce caught was 5-4 lightning. It's not like they went 8-1 or 9-0. So how can we come up here, and I'm just challenging our train of thought because I want to just make this an interesting conversation for the viewer. How can we come up here and just say, of course they got it right. It was the right decision. All the things when Gruden, years of coaching experience, $100 million on the line. McDaniels, coached the greatest quarterback ever. Mm-hmm. Didn't work. Gruden, didn't work. Jack Del Rio had some success before Oakland. Didn't work. Now, I do believe Jack Del Rio, it did work. He had a 12-win season, went to the playoffs. But many say it didn't work. How in the world, James Jones, can you tell me that Antonio Pierce was the right decision when I tell you John Gruden's resume was 1,000x Antonio Pierce's, and it didn't work?
Uh-huh. Yeah, and all those resumes is good. But it didn't work, mm-hmm. right? So, for me, that really means nothing. But when you really talk about Antonio Pierce, the reason why I believe it's a great hire is because let's take it to the football field.
Yeah.
Took over the 14th-ranked defense, finished numero uno. Right? He's a defense.
Over that period of time.
Over that period of time. The defense, over that period of time that he was the head coach, they finished the number one defense in football. That is his side of the ball. That's him getting those guys to play at a very, very high level. Right? So when you talk about his football IQ and being able to get dudes to play, that's what he did. The Raiders have never looked like this. Under Gruden, under McDaniel, they have never looked like this. The way they were playing football was the Raiders style of football. When you just turned on the tape, if you watched it on silent, you'd be like, that team wanted more, point mm-hmm. blank, period. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that team was finding ways to win with a rookie.
Yeah.
With a rookie. This team went into Kansas City and said, here, Patrick Mahomes, take, like, with a rookie. So I can only imagine, and the reason why I'm so excited is because it's one thing about Antonio Pierce. He know how to scout players. He know how to get football players in there. He's been doing that since he was at Poly, when he was at Arizona State. He knows what it is supposed to look like and a team is supposed to look like and exactly what he needs. When I see him visualizing and getting his players in there, the players that he needs to win, I think this organization is going to take off, because from what I've seen from him, he's led me to believe that. This team got better when you took over, and it ain't even close.
Joy, sixth grade, Mr. McCarron, my favorite substitute teacher. He was a math teacher, right? My regular math teacher, he got sick. Mr. McCarron came in, and it was fun. Yeah. He was different. He found a better way to teach things. It was great. But then the teacher who got sick, he moved on, never taught again, and Mr. McCarron became the permanent teacher. Mm-hmm. He wasn't my favorite no more.
No more.
Because them jokes got tiresome after a while. Those lesson plans got tiresome after a while. He became more agitated because now he was no longer the substitute, so the expectations were higher. There became a lot more expectations of Mr. McCarron. And all of a sudden, what he was once great at, just being a substitute, when he became the permanent, he wasn't that great anymore. Why the belief that Antonio Pierce, who now has to be the permanent teacher, he's no longer the substitute head coach. Now he's the permanent head coach. Mm-hmm. Now he's responsible for the roster. So if the roster don't look good, it's on him.
No doubt.
Now he's responsible for offseason team activities. So the team doesn't start the season great, it's on him. Mm-hmm. Now we won't look at 5-4 glowingly. We'll look at 5-4 as a disappointment. It's on him. Mm-hmm. Why the confidence that this will last and it won't just be 9 games? Because now the expectation's real high.
Yeah.
Why not? Why not? There's coordinators with huge resumes. What happened in Denver before Sean Payton got there?
Nathaniel Hackett.
He had a really nice resume before he got there,
yes,
right?
Yes, he did.
Multiple MVPs. Mm-hmm. He's one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. Mm. And it didn't look good. And I'm not taking a shot at Nathaniel Hackett. But my point is, there are guys who have brilliant resumes, who have a lot of experience, who end up not being successful. Why not? And he does have a resume. He was in the building. He had the opportunity to try and turn things around. And to James's point, his side of the ball was turned around. And that was in a short amount of time. And no, 5-4 isn't 8-1, but it's still a winning record. Mm-hmm. And he had what to work with. So maybe it's a great hire. Maybe it's not. But I don't think there aren't things to be excited about with what we've seen from him being there, with the response from the locker room, with the response from the fans, with the response from the owner. And while they've had a long history of disappointments, they have $43 million in cap space. That's the 12th most in the league. They have Aiden O'Connell in the building, who's a fourth round pick. You know, we'll see what he develops into. But they also have the 13th overall pick in a very deep quarterback draft. So they may have an opportunity to actually get their next quarterback.
No question.
So they're not. It's not like they're completely out of the conversation of getting a quarterback in this draft, which is huge. Mm-hmm. They have Aiden O'Connell in the building, so if they need to slowly bring that quarterback along, they have someone there. He's still on his rookie deal. Now, obviously, they have Jimmy G as well, and you know who knows what's going to happen with that. But you know, there's some wiggle room with that, even if they trade him as well. They still have Max Crosby, Davante Adams. Mm-hmm. You know, they have some pieces there. So it's not a completely empty cupboard. They have some ability to sign new players. They have an ability to set up this now newly stewing culture that he's already created. So I think there's a lot of things to be excited about. When it comes to new coaching hires and first-time coaching hires, you never know what's going to happen. We all get excited about the thrilling offensive coordinator that's finally getting his opportunity, or the budding defensive coordinator, D'Amico Ryans, that's getting his opportunity. But we don't know what's going to work. Sometimes these coaches are great. Sometimes it fizzles out. But I do think that there is a lot to be excited about with Antonio Pierce in this hire. And I'm excited also because I think the Raiders, like I said earlier, are a brand in the NFL that we have a lot of respect for, that fans know, that's recognizable. And when they're better, in my opinion, the league is better.
Yeah. Let's talk lastly about the pressure. Because it's not just about the Raiders. What division are they in? Now, division with Patrick Mahomes, going to end up as the greatest or second greatest quarterback of all time. A division with
Justin Herbert, many people think incredibly highly of him per every single report. Harbaugh, Jim Harbaugh is, I believe it's Jim, not John. Jim Harbaugh is supposed to take that job. Sean Payton, say what you will about Russell Wilson and his potential departure, but Sean Payton got the Broncos right towards the end of the season. So James Jones, realistically speaking, you're already walking into a division with Sean Payton, probably a Hall of Fame head coach. Andy Reid, a surefire Hall of Fame head coach, and what many people say is a top five quarterback talent in Justin Herbert on the Chargers. What are realistic expectations for the Raiders? Is this really just a lost job anyway? Is this just, congrats, Antonio Pierce, we're happy for you, but can you really expect them to win the division? Patrick Mahomes is there, and even in Patrick Mahomes' worst year, they won the division. Sean Payton is there, they're on the rise, and Justin Herbert is there, and many people think highly of him. Can you even expect the Raiders to win a division, or are we just having a conversation happy for him because he's your former teammate, if you will?
You know, the ratings on this show have been pretty good.
They've been great.
Right? And I just got here.
You did?
I'd be walking around the mall telling everybody it's me. I walk around telling
definitely a
so,
part,
and the reason why I say that is because he beat Patty
when he
was the head coach. He beat the Chargers when he was the head coach. He slapped the Broncos when he was the head coach. So I understand what everybody's looking at, like this division, but AP ain't like, man, we can. When I was the head coach, we beat all them boys in the division, right? Mm-hmm. When I wasn't the head coach, we lost to them boys. But when I became the head coach with a fourth-round rookie quarterback, I beat one of them 63 to I don't even know what the score was. And I know Justin Herbert was there. I went into Patty Mahomes' house and beat Patty. The Broncos came to me, and I handled business with them. So when you're talking about Antonio Pierce, it ain't no pressure or fear of these dudes when I've already seen these dudes and beat these boys. Now you're giving me an offseason to put in what I want to put in, bring in the offensive coordinator that I want to bring in the players that I want to bring in. Antonio Pierce, I believe, has the best chance to get this thing turned around out of any of these head coach resume or not from what I've seen him do. Not only just on the football field, but inside that building, being in that building. He has everybody bought in, from the people that record stuff, from the people that cook the food. Everybody is bought in, and it was not always like that around there when them other coaches was around there.
Well, speaking of that division, Patrick Mahomes has a big game this weekend against Josh Allen. A monumental game is coming up this weekend, and we have to discuss it. Quite literally, this is the matchup of the playoffs. Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes. What is on the line for Josh Allen in this matchup if he gets a win? That is next. Don't forget, check us out every day, Fox Sports Channel on Sirius XM.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Family, we're moving off the breaking news to the game that is really most important. Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, they see each other for the third time in the playoffs, and so much is at stake. The Bills are the hottest team in football right now. They've rattled off six or seven straight. Meanwhile, the Chiefs are once again where you expect them to be, vying for another Super Bowl title. Shady McCoy, you played with Josh Allen. You played with Patrick Mahomes. I don't know if anybody else on national TV can say that, so you can answer this question literally better than anyone. It's a huge game. But what would a win over Patrick Mahomes mean for Josh Allen?
If Josh Allen beats Patrick Mahomes at home, they're going to win the Super Bowl.
Ooh!
Yeah, I'm going to say it. I'm
going
to say it.
They're going into Baltimore?
Yeah. It's just because it's like, it's the level of competition. Going against Patrick Mahomes is like a Super Bowl in its own making.
True.
Right? I'm going against the top dog, the best gladiator.
Yep.
Right? I think the Ravens with Lamar Jackson, they're probably the best team of football. Mm-hmm. But the matchups, right? Mm-hmm. We always talk about the quarterbacks. When we talk about who's the best quarterback in the game, without a doubt, you're going to say Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
Right? But then, this is sports TV. It's what we do.
Mm-hmm.
He beats Patrick Mahomes at home, and then they go to the AFC Championship game. We go talk about, who the best quarterback.
Yeah.
So I think this game is so much bigger than just a win.
That's true.
Right?
That's true.
This is for Josh Allen's legacy. He's been so close to beating Patrick Mahomes on the way, on the road. You didn't take some winning, beat him at home. This would be big for his career. If they win this game, I said it again, Buffalo, circle the wagon, they going to the Super Bowl. Mm.
JD's right. I do think this game is bigger than a game of football. If Josh Allen beats Patrick Mahomes, it allows individuals to say that Josh Allen is better than Patrick Mahomes. What do I mean by that? I used to do a show, and my former co-host, he would say Peyton Manning's better than Tom Brady. And people would expect some visceral reaction for me to vehemently disagree. And I would look at him like, I think you kind of right. Because I had to play against Peyton, had to play against Tom. And in my opinion, Peyton Manning individually was better than Tom Brady. Now, Tom Brady is objectively, by many people's estimations, the greatest quarterback of all time. He won 6 Super Bowls. But you can say he won 7 Super Bowls. Yeah. But you can say Peyton's better without people throwing bricks at you. Because Peyton did win a couple himself. He did beat Tom eventually. He did go to 4. He did win several MVPs. I think he won 5, the most in the history of the NFL. So it wasn't crazy to say that Peyton was better than Tom. Some people might still look at you crazy, but at least you had a valid conversation.
Yeah.
Josh Allen, if he beats Pat, he'll finally allow people to say, man, Josh Allen better. Imagine if Josh Allen would have been drafted with the greatest mind offensively in the history of the game. Josh Allen better. Imagine if Josh Allen had a top 10 receiver of all time in Tyreek Hill. Josh Allen better. Imagine if Josh Allen had the greatest receiving tight end in the history of the National Football League. If Josh Allen had that, he would have 3 Super Bowls like Pat. At least it would allow us to have the conversation.
Yeah.
But you gotta beat him just so we can have the conversation. If you don't beat him, now we sound crazy. No. We being those who say that Josh Allen is better. Shady is right. This game is bigger than just a football game.
Ooh.
The debate about Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes will likely last the next half century. We will continue to carry on this debate, those who were able to watch them play for 50 to 60 to 70 years, just like those who played against Peyton and Tom always talk. I always have that conversation. Hey, Peyton better than Tom? So this allows Josh, in my mind, Joy, to equip his army to say that he is better. Those that do want to engage in that debate, what would the win mean in your mind?
Yeah, I think I agree. It validates the rivalry. I think most of us will still say Pat has the edge because Pat's resume is longer. Yeah, but right now, particularly in the postseason, you can't, there's levels. There's just levels, and we've had the opportunity for them to meet multiple times. Because sometimes you have like this rivalry, but they never actually matched up. They play the regular season, they never actually meet in the postseason. Like, it just never breaks that way. It's broken that way multiple times. And it's always gone in Pat's favor. And this year, it kind of feels like you should. It's not like Kansas City is walking in their full strength at their best. You are actually the one with the advantage, having the game at home. You're the hottest team. Now, they have a lot of injuries, obviously, but not at the most important position, which is Josh Allen. So I think it validates it. The Peyton Manning, Tom Brady example is a good one because you have to beat the guy sometimes. You got to beat the guy if you're going
to
be in that conversation. We know how talented Josh Allen is. We know what he's capable of doing. He's brilliant to watch. And when he's at his best,
He's at his best.
But still, like, you can't say it. He's better. You can't say he's better than everyone at his best because we've seen him up against the man at his best and his best, and it's not gone his way.
But here's what's crazy, though, because I had this conversation at the time. I remember in 2020 when Josh Allen played Pat. And if y'all were watching that game, many could easily say Josh Allen played better.
No doubt.
Or you could have said if the Bills won the coin toss, because I think the Chiefs won the coin toss, went down the field and scored. You could say if the Bills won the coin toss, Bills would have won the game. So if Josh Allen wins this one, he wins it.
Yeah.
Patrick Mahomes, he objectively won their other one 38-24. It wasn't as close a contest. Then the other one, you could genuinely debate, bruh, so you telling me a coin is the difference?
Yeah.
You telling me a coin? Yeah. So, James, I think this game is just so interesting because of these details. Where you at?
It is, and it's a big-time game for Josh Allen. It's a big-time game. It's in your building. But right now, what it will mean... Right now, Patty like this with his binoculars. Yeah, that's Josh and them down there, Joe Burrow. And then you see him? Look at him, Joy. So if he wins this, Josh Allen could tap him on the shoulder and say, put your glasses on, dog. You see me? I'm here. Like, that's what this game means. Like, we in the AFC, we're going to be in the AFC for a long time, and I'm right here, dog. You're going to have to go through me. I'm going to have to go through you, and you can see me. You don't need the binoculars. I'm standing right here. So that's what this game will mean for me. Josh, this is at your house. You have the better team. You're playing the hottest right now. You got to find a way to get this one done. Just like I said yesterday, if not now, then when? This is the time right now because right now the gap is so far away that you need binoculars to look at Josh down there. As good as Josh is too, which is crazy, as good as Josh is, Patrick Mahomes is just that much better right now that he's looking at him with binoculars way down there. This is for him to say, put them binoculars down.
Let me ask you something,
right
James.
Here next to you right now. You're going to have to go through me.
You caught footballs from Aaron Rodgers.
Yep.
You tell me that Patrick Mahomes is just so much better. Tell me your why. Or is it all based on wins and team accolades? What's your why?
Well, I'm just saying, first off, Patrick Mahomes has it all. Patrick Mahomes beat you with his leg. Patrick Mahomes has one of the greatest arm talents that we've ever seen. And on top of that, he's put Super Bowl MVPs, he's put regular season MVPs, and he's never played a game on the road until now in the playoffs. Mm. That is special. That is everybody else's way down there with what I accomplished in my young career so far. Mm-hmm. Allen ain't even close to accomplishing what I had accomplished. So for me, that's why I say you got to put binoculars to see Josh Allen down there. Strictly when you talk Patty with what Patty has accomplished and with who Patty is on this football field. Like, we are not going to be surprised if Patty go here and ball out and win. Strictly because of who Patrick Mahomes is. He's that great. And right now, the binoculars, like I say, you're trying to zoom in a little bit, but you can't see Josh and Joe Burrow and them down there. Josh got to win this one so he can say, Patty, I'm right here, and I'm going to see you again next year.
Making it quick, just because I'm curious, do you all play the game, James, I'll go back to you asking you first, of if Josh Allen was drafted to the Chiefs mm-hmm. with Andy Reid, Shady, obviously you played for the Chiefs, you say Andy Reid's the most brilliant football mind ever, yeah. and Tyreek Hill mm-hmm. walking into the Hall of Fame first ballot, Travis Kelce walking into the Hall of Fame first ballot, do you play the game that if Josh Allen was there, he and Patrick Mahomes went to a defensive mind yeah. and three offensive coordinators in 2 years, I think four offensive coordinators in total, do you play the game that Josh Allen would be better?
No, I don't play that game because I think they're two totally different players. You know what I mean? I don't think Andy Reid might have helped Josh Allen a little bit, but I think Josh Allen's style of play is aggressive. So I'm not saying just the interceptions or turnovers just going to go way down because he's with Andy Reid. And I'm not saying, with what we've seen from Patty, I'm not ready to say defensive-minded head coach, he is not as good as he is. So I wouldn't play these are two special quarterbacks. So any system, like, that's why they up there. Mm-hmm. Because we say we could plant these two dudes anywhere and they could be great.
Yeah. I don't want to play that game either. I'll start thinking. It'd be, you know what I mean? I don't want to do that. Right?
But why don't you want to do it? I'm curious.
Because it's...
Because you know Andy Reid. And you know what he's done with Nick Foles, Donovan McNabb, yo, Michael Vick,
everybody.
Alex Smith.
Let's say everybody.
Everybody.
They used to say Alex Smith was his bust.
As good as Josh Allen has been without Andy Reid.
Listen, man.
That's why I asked the game.
I like Kevin Cobb, my boy. I watched Kevin Cobb, man. I ain't going to get to that. Anyway, I'll say this, right? And I'll be as most respectful as possible, right? Because Patrick Mahomes earned that.
Yeah.
Andy Reid is special, but Patrick, he earned that. I just think with Josh Allen... Funny story, real quick.
Go ahead.
When I get to Kansas City, I meet Patrick Mahomes, whatever, we're on the phone first, and then I meet him. We talking, this and that, third. I say, yo, man, make sure I got the 25 in there, because, you know, I don't do nothing else. You know what I'm saying? We laugh, we joke. It's a fill him out. You know, I'm joking to see how he is. We start talking about Josh Allen. Like, yo, Josh is pretty good, this and that, third. And I was like, he mentioned about a throw-off. He said, I won't do it because it's a lose-lose.
What right? you mean to throw off? What you mean?
Throw off. Like, who would throw farther? Who throw? You know, oh, right, competition. You know, everybody's into competition. Yeah. We went to the Bucks. Tom was asking little things about Pat. That's just how it works, right? I'll do the same thing, you know. So he's like, I won't ever do a throw off. It's a lose-lose. I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, because Josh got a crazy rocket arm, right? So if I lose, it's like, oh, my God, is he this, that, third? He said, plus, I haven't won the game because I know how good he is mm-hmm. and people how people view me and how people view him. And obviously, he's up there. But if we had that competition, we don't know where that would go.
Yeah.
And I get it, though. It makes sense because Josh is that good. So I say all that to say this. If Josh Allen was with Andy Reid, he definitely would have a championship and an MVP. Easy, hands down. I know you played with Mike McCarthy, and I think he's a good coordinator.
Yeah.
He's nothing like Andy Reid, not even close, right? Any team, they're going to win, for one. Any team, the quarterback's going to get really, really good, right? That's one part. The other thing is, like, who you drafting, though? Andy Reid drafts very, very well. Him and Brett Veach, they draft well. Mm-hmm. It's not a coincidence you come in there, you got Tyreek Hill there. Mm-hmm. It's not a coincidence you got freaking Travis. Yeah. It's not a coincidence, yeah. right? And then the things that we need, in the Super Bowl, we played them, the Chiefs, when I was with the Bucks, they couldn't stop the pass rush. They had no tackles. The next year, what did they do?
Loaded up.
So when you have a great franchise, and Joey always talks about dysfunctional organizations, you're not going to Buffalo where you got to change it around. Nah, it's going to be changed when you get here. And that's what Andy Reid is. So if Josh Allen ever had the chance to play with a mind like Coach Reid, not even just to play call him, but like the chemistry and the structure, what you can't do. My first time I ever know about a fine, right, from the head coach to mm-hmm. is when I went to Buffalo. I didn't know anything about no fines because everybody did everything right. Mm-hmm. Everybody's on time. for work. Everybody's doing this. Everybody's doing that. So you never see no mess ups. So if you mess up, yo, you accountable for that. Everybody's like that. So I just think that if he had a chance to go from that to that, ooh, I don't know how that would go. And I don't even want to play that game.
It's fascinating. You want to weigh in? There's no way. It's just fascinating.
I think there's a lot to it, of course. Anytime a great player, we can make this argument for lots of great players who went to organizations who didn't have what they need or had great coaches, they got injuries or they didn't draft well for a certain time or had a bad GM. There's a lot of things that can cause a player to not have the team success that we expect them to have. And of course, at the quarterback position, we associate team success with your legacy because you are the most important position. Correct. You get the most praise, you get the most criticism. That's how it goes. But there are certain guys like a Josh Allen, like a Patrick Mahomes, like a Dan Marino, like a Tom Brady, like a Peyton Manning that we think are just different. They could probably have success anywhere they went. And if they went to certain situations, they might have similar success to a great person that's already in that system. So it's a tough game to play. It's fun banter, probably better over a couple cocktails, but it's really like, it's an endless conversation because there's so much that goes into winning championships, which is why we don't take them lightly.
And I will say this, like Andy Reid is so smart, man. Like not even just from the drafting part, but like he takes stuff that he does in Texas Tech in college that he did great, right?
Like Pat did.
And then he brings that to the Chiefs, but you run my office, but I'm gonna take a little bit of both and I'm gonna put it together. So I look at like Josh Allen. He's sometimes he gets wild, right? I'm running, I'm gonna flip it back. Like he does crazy stuff like that. All the picks, that's who he is since Wyoming in college. If he had Andy Reid, this is why Patrick Mahomes will always get better and better and better. Andy Reid's never gonna let you be satisfied, right? So any other player, and I'm guilty of it too. Once I became who I was, coaches didn't coach me the same, right? When I left him, they didn't coach me the same. They let me do my thing. If Patrick Mahomes is what he is right now and he plays for another team, they're going to let him do his thing. Andy Reid, no, we have a standard. I don't care who it is. You're going to do this the right way or you're not going to do it at all. Yeah. When Josh Allen started getting crazy with that ball and started, hold up, come here. I'm going to talk to you, right? The same way I'm going to talk to this dude we just picked up last week. Now, it's a little bit more respect, obviously, but he's going to check him. Where I've been in places where head coaches, they're not going to check the best player. I had coaches trying to check me, but they talking to my backup.
Yeah. Talking to him.
Hey, hold that ball tight.
Yeah.
Dude, like, what?
Like, I'm high and tight all the time. Right.
Andy Reid ain't doing that.
Yeah.
I've watched it real quick, because I love Andy Reid stories. He told me and Deshaun Jackson, Andy Reid only cuss. He's like real religious. We did some bad stuff. He told us, I will bitch our A's. Don't do that ever again. You know what happened? We never did it again. He the same way with Patrick Mahomes. Yeah. If y'all forget, he sat Pat his first year. Mm-hmm. Everybody said Pat was good. He was nice. No. You need to learn this offense the right way. You good, but you don't know the offense. Learn it first. Coaches are not going to do that.
Yeah.
They worry about their own resume. I got to win. I got a good player. Nah. Yeah. That's the difference. If Josh came over to the Chiefs, I don't know. Because he can run the ball too, though.
He can. I got to go to break, Shady.
Go to break.
Speaking of somebody who can run the ball, Lamar Jackson, he's a favorite to win his second MVP award, but now he's facing the Texans family. Lamar Jackson's legacy, is it already on the line? He's 1-3 in the playoffs. He can't afford to go 1-4. It's the most important for the most important person this weekend. That's next on Speak. Let's discuss it. What's up, family? Welcome into Speak. Now, I got something I need to show y'all because this gold jacket right here, it already belongs to Lamar Jackson. Now, what do I mean? Lamar Jackson is on the verge of getting his second MVP award. Now, for context, there are 10 players in NFL history that have two or more MVP awards. Quite literally, every single one of them is in the Hall of Fame, 7 to be exact. The other 3, Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, they are all first ballots. So what does this mean? If you get 2 MVP awards, you're going into the Hall of Fame. Lamar Jackson already has 1 unanimous MVP. In about a month or so, he will have another MVP based upon his play this season. So if the man is already a Hall of Fame lock, then what is on the line this weekend? He's 1-3 in the playoffs. That's his current legacy. So how can you have more MVPs than you have playoff wins? Family, I can't make sense of that math. As I like to say, that math ain't mathing at all whatsoever. So is Lamar's legacy on the line this weekend? 24 hours until he plays the 5th playoff game of his career. And boy, this is a must win if I've ever heard it. Heading to the death. Let's rap about that. First and foremost, 2-5, how wild is
zap this.
Yeah, that was a
two MVPs. You already gonna get into the hall.
They got dark.
That was like a whole. You know what I mean?
Have a little nap.
Yeah, what's going on?
Lamar Jackson, man, two MVPs.
Yeah.
Surefire. He's getting into the hall. If you get two MVPs, you're going into the hall. That's just what the statistics show me. So is his legacy on the line this weekend versus the Texans tomorrow?
I won't say his legacy's on the line, right? He is 27 years old. I do think that the Ravens will have another shot at this. But I think that the narrative of who Lamar Jackson really is, because it matters, right? A kid that has two MVPs, right? We all talked about how, well, not all, but they talked about he should be a running back, he should be this, he should be that, and they look at him differently. I look at a guy like Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, they don't look at Lamar in that same light,
yeah.
Right? And I think it's the way he plays the game. So I think it's affected by his play, like what happens. He needs to win this game because you did all them things in the regular season for what?
Mm-hmm.
This year, the last time he was MVP. What does it matter? I think now it's more about not just the legacy, because I don't think his legacy can be affected. Two-time MVP is hard to do.
Very hard to do.
So I think more of the narrative of who Lamar Jackson really is.
Yeah.
Is he just a guy that has some nice regular season wins, flashy runs, a couple good passes? Or is he a real deal quarterback,
yep.
Right? And I think that he goes out here and he wins this game because he's that good, his team is that good. He puts the team on his back like he's done numerous of times. Mm.
Come on now. This is all about legacy right here for Lamar Jackson. You're talking about if he loses this game, so we just going to one unanimous and he going to get another one. We chalking that one up.
Yeah, got to.
You lose this game, I mean, first-year starter on arguably the worst team in football in C.J. Stroud with the second and third overall pick. After one season, has more playoff wins than Lamar Jackson.
Ooh.
We talking Jordan Love, got the same amount of playoff wins as a one-year starter. We talking Brock Purdy, got more playoff wins than you. Baker Mayfield, we see what he doing. He got more playoff wins than you. This is all about legacy for Lamar Jackson. If he does not get this one done, we cannot care or worry about anything Lamar Jackson does in the regular season.
Yeah.
I don't care if the Baltimore Ravens go 17-0 and he runs for 4,000 yards and throws for 4,000, has 8,000 total. We do not care, because the only thing that matters is Lamar Jackson in the postseason. That's where he has put himself. You are about to be a two-time MVP, so all the other little stuff in between now does not matter. The only thing that matters is playoffs and Super Bowls. That's the only thing that matters for your legacy. And we could talk about other quarterbacks, because we had a conversation about Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott's legacy ain't even built yet. You have not done or accomplished what Lamar Jackson has accomplished, from all pros to MVPs and all that. This is a legacy moment. To put a stamp on your MVPs, to put a stamp on everything that you've been through, stood up on that thing after being the fifth quarterback drafted, felt like he was better, and you told Deion Sanders they're going to get a Super Bowl out of me.
He did.
This is a legacy moment for him. You have the best team in football, and you're about to be labeled and crowned as the best quarterback in football. Not best quarterback, best player in football.
Talk
with the
it.
MVP. This is a legacy moment for him. He cannot go one and done. If he goes one and done, the conversations we are going to be having about Lamar Jackson, whether he a two-time MVP or not, is not going to be good at all. This is a legacy moment for him.
Good take, big dog. Mount Rushmore.
That's very good. I don't think I would go legacy, because
hold
I'm with Shady.
Hold on. Did you just hear me?
I'm right. It was very good. It was very good. I like it. I like it. I hear you. And all up until... I still think he has a lot of time to write his legacy. So let's say they lose, right? And then the next year they go to the Super Bowl, they win the Super Bowl, and the next year after that they go to the AFC Championship game, he wins a couple more playoff games, whatever, maybe goes back to one. Are we gonna say, okay, he struggled a little in the postseason at the beginning of his career, but inevitably he was a Super Bowl winner and had an incredible regular season career and two MVPs.
I'm just saying right now, Joy, if he loses this game
for
the whole offseason.
Let me get to the other part. I just think as far as legacy goes, like, he's not at the end of the road. Right, this isn't like his last opportunity in football ever, like he's retiring next year or something. Like, he has more time to write his story, which is what I think of when I think of legacy. But it's going to be very hard to contextualize Lamar Jackson with a 1-4 playoff record and two regular season MVPs. It will be almost impossible to say anything other than he is a great regular season quarterback.
That's all you can say.
Yeah.
Yeah. I literally wrote down, because I think about you when I hear you, it's a great... in the regular season.
Yeah.
Because that's what we say all.
But I mean, the MVP is a regular season award. We just expect great things from the MVP in the postseason because we are saying you're the best player in football. That should translate to the postseason against other great players who are in the postseason. This, like there will be other great players in the postseason that you're playing against because they're in the postseason. Like that's why it matters. It's the games that really matter. Not that the postseason does or the regular season doesn't, because you have to play well to get there. But as an individual, Lamar Jackson has to do this for his own current reputation. Yeah. How, with two MVPs, would we have a conversation about him being next to a Patrick Mahomes or a Josh Allen or even a Joe Burrow? Because you have these regular seasons awards, which no one can take away from you. Yeah. And you have a unanimous one, which no one can take away from you. On top of that, his games in the postseason.
They're not good.
Like,
not good.
I don't want to read the stats.
No.
Okay, I won't. Really not good. Not like he's been super impressive in these games and it's come down to the wire and like, no. So that's the other element of it, which we don't really pay attention to right now because he's been so good. But that's going to come up that he can't perform in the postseason.
Well, Lamar's, this game will do a lot. One, it'll put pressure on a lot of analysts because it will expose their objectivity or lack thereof. Mm-hmm. What we say about Aaron Rodgers, he's great in the regular season. People who want to throw that in the regular season.
And this is a dude that won one.
And he won one. So now what are you going to have to say about Lamar? You're going to say he's
you're
great.
You're still saying, look at
in the regular season. Yeah. And Lamar and Aaron Rodgers, last I checked, has 11 postseason wins. I believe he's 11-11. Yeah. But we still throw that shade, those who want to throw that shade.
Four of them, too.
So keep that in mind. The second thing is it's going to contextualize some of these MVPs. Mm-hmm. I always remember this. I always vividly remember Russell Westbrook. He won an MVP when he was in OKC. He won one. He averaged a triple-double through the course of the season for the first time, I think, since Oscar Robertson. It was amazing. Yeah, but then he got bounced in the playoffs. Yeah. I think there were 5 or 6 seed. The next year, Russell Westbrook, America, did the exact same thing.
Yeah.
But we looked at him like, we ain't voting for you for MVP. Mm-hmm. Because it didn't translate. And then I think the next year, Russell Westbrook did the same thing. And we looked like, ugh, these meaningless stats. There's going to come a point with Lamar Jackson where we will look at him that same way if he does not win this game. We're going to look at you like, yeah, that's cool, but that don't translate. The other thing, and my biggest point is, we're going to say his style of play doesn't work. Every postseason, Lamar enters the postseason with the least amount of passing yards. Everyone. Every time. This year, once again, he got the least amount of passing yards. But what about rushing yards? I'll care about them when the win column cares about them. Because as it matters right now, the win column doesn't care about Lamar's rushing yards. So we're going to start to say, James Jones, bro, his style of play don't even translate. Because this year, he got 3,600 passing. Yeah. Baker got 4, Stroud got 4, Love got 4. He got the fewest.
Yeah.
So there's going to come a point where even his style of play, we start to ask ourselves, does it translate?
No question. My dog got to get this one done.
I'm sound stressed, big dog.
I am because I'm just visualizing the questions and all that we are going to have to answer about Lamar Jackson if he does not get this one done. Like, you just gave him all that money, right, to go out here and be able to have you in the situation he has you in right now, but go win a Super Bowl or at least get to an AFC championship game. I don't want to talk about, is Brock Purdy better than Lamar Jackson? Is Baker Mayfield better? But that's going to be the conversations because he has not delivered in the playoffs. So people are going to be like, who you want in the playoffs?
Correct.
Baker Mayfield or Lamar Jackson? And we all going to be sitting here like, bros, you stupid. But you know what I'm saying? And we cannot go through that. I do not want to do that. This dude is special. He has done special things in the league. This is a legacy moment to add on to his legacy. He has to get this one done. You cannot lose to CJ Stroud.
I don't think he is. I guess it's a topic we gotta talk about, but I don't think he's gonna lose to the Texans.
I pray.
Lamar Jackson. Come on. You got the best team in football.
Yep.
You got the best defense, right? You got a young wide receiver core that's getting busy.
No doubt.
You're not going to lose. I'm going to lose. I'm only got to talk like that.
But here's
that type of energy in the world.
I'm with you.
You know what I'm saying?
Get it out of here,
my counselor always tells me, shit, Shady McCoy, when you have something to talk about, always be positive.
Yep.
We being negative. Lamar Jackson, look, I know what they talking about. I seen that gold jacket. Yeah. You're going
to
get that.
Listen to
Shady. You're the MVP. Go get this championship. Beat these boys at home and go on to the conference
Come
game.
Come on now.
I'm with you. Let that boy James Jones put that on your name.
Oh, man. I don't want it on
you. You don't want another name. Well, when we return, Joy Taylor is handing out flowers. The best stories in sports that you haven't yet heard about, honestly, is my favorite segment of the week. Friday Flowers, the unsung heroes in sports, get their praise. You do not want to miss this one. I swear this is going to be those water cooler conversations that carry you through the weekend. That's next on Speak. Time now for Friday Flowers. The wait is over. Joy Taylor, who deserves flowers this week?
Let's start in Buffalo, where the whole community came together to get Highmark Stadium ready for the Bills wild card matchup with my Steelers. Folks from the community came and dug out enough seats for Bills Mafia and a couple Yinzers with their terrible towels who were brave enough to come and watch the game in those temperatures. And the Bills got the win. Now they're in the same position again this week, asking for more shovelers to clear the snow for Buffalo's divisional round matchup against Mahomes and the Chiefs. So there's more snow.
More snow?
More snow. As you know, it is Buffalo.
I won't be there.
So by 3 p.m. Eastern today, though, the Bills are no longer taking volunteers because so many people signed up to help shovel the snow. I am not built for that anymore. I did do my time, though. Okay, I was born and raised in Pittsburgh. It snows there. I just can't do the cold anymore. But we love to see it. You know, Buffalo is a community that's going to support their team now. Those are all the people lined up to help shovel the snow.
Buffalo, they do ride out. They ride out.
They do. They do. Shout out Bills Mafia. So we all saw the Lions fan that was crying as Detroit won only their second playoff game since 1957. That moment really encapsulated what the win means to the Motor City because the fans have been showing their gratitude and it's been felt by the players. David Montgomery shared a tearful hug from a fan at a gas station. Amon-Ra St. Brown connected with a fan in hospice care who dyed their hair Honolulu blue to match his. And to bring it full circle, the crying Lions fan will get to go to this week's divisional round game as well. A Michigan lawyer is paying for his tickets. So football is community, y'all. You know, we talk a lot about how important teams are to the city and how much fans get involved in the wins and losses. We just talked about Bills Mafia. Detroit really deserved that win, and they are excited about their team moving on in the playoffs, so we love to see it. And football community is looking more stylish than ever thanks to Kristen Juszczyk. She made the iconic Kelce jacket that Taylor Swift wore. We have a Swiftie on set. Shady McCoy, did you like that jacket? It was fly. She does some really, really good stuff.
Told you.
That wasn't her only item out there, though, during Wildcard Weekend. She also made a vest for Olympic champion Simone Biles, who was repping for her husband, Packers safety Jonathan Owens. And huge Lions fan Taylor Lautner got in the mix. He got a custom Aiden Hutchinson jacket delivered to him on the field. And, you know, a little note for the fellas. Kristen's husband, 49ers running back, Kyle Juszczyk. All up in the comments on every post, making sure that his wife got all the credit for all of her designs. So, love that.
This was my favorite story of the week, because them jackets are tough.
She's been doing this for a while.
Jackets are tough.
Guess who's getting one next?
Getting one?
I'm hitting them. I'm going to name my call and my order, but real quick. That's the brother right there. That's the brother from, what's that?
Twilight.
Taylor Lautner.
But where's
Twilight? Twilight.
Yeah, Twilight. He turns into the wolf.
Shout out Taylor. He be watching the show.
He got that girl.
Jacob.
Yeah,
yes.
and he love that girl. So they love that girl. You know, yes. They don't do they fight all the time about the girl.
Yes.
Twilight. Yeah.
Bella.
You know I watch
Taylor.
TV.
Taylor, yeah. We appreciate you, big dog. But anyway,
yes. Shout out,
Kristen. I need one of them jackets.
I also need one. You know what? I'm gonna get a Taylor one. You know.
There you go.
We got a couple jerseys.
Like Taylor fitted or Taylor?
Yeah, I was about to say Taylor. Taylor.
I'm going to get a tailored Taylor.
Well, when we return, we can't wait for this topic. Brock Purdy was left off of a list by a former executive who said all the other quarterbacks are terrific. And Brock Purdy, he just wasn't. Oh, it's about to get spicy, family. Go get you some water.
Oh,
you don't need to cool down during this topic. That's next.
Oh, man.
Family, make sure you play this week's Fox Super 6 free-to-play game. Just download the Fox Sports app and enter for free for a chance to win your share of $10,000 in weekly cash prizes. If you have
show me the money! Ching, ching! 10K?
I need that 10K. That's big time. You don't need 10K.
Who cares?
You don't need that.
I can use it.
I can use it.
All right, family, we are in overtime. Niners are hosting the Packers tomorrow on Fox. Now, Purdy, he's helped give the Niners a number one seed this year after leading them to an NFC Championship game last year. But get what this former NFL exec had to say about the QB. Buckle up for this one, fam. She said four games, eight quarterbacks, seven terrific quarterbacks, and Brock Purdy. Now, Brock Purdy's a good quarterback. Make no mistake about it. He is. I simply don't put him in the same category as the other quarterbacks. Now, for context, the other quarterbacks, C.J. Stroud, Jordan Love, Baker Mayfield, Jared Goff, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes. Seven terrific quarterbacks and Brock Purdy. Shady, is it crazy to say Brock Purdy is the worst remaining quarterback in the NFL?
This is what I get mad about, right? We get people to the platform just to be talking.
Just talking.
See, now if I told you this Zach was with the Raiders, is that James? Is that right? Huh. Amy?
Yeah.
It won't surprise you. That's why they be so bad for so long. That's why they can't, do nothing good, because they got people like that that's talking out loud.
Man, start the second over.
And when you have a franchise, right, that's not ran right, that the people say stuff like that, that's why you can't take them serious. Mm-hmm. My thing is this. When you're talking about quarterbacks, right, it's levels. Now, I think Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, and even Lamar Jackson, they're in a different class, right? But when you look at Brock Purdy, you telling me Baker Mayfield's better than him? Mm. Why? Because he's drafted higher? Mm-hmm. Was he more talented? We're not talking about talent. We're talking about playing. We're talking about winning. Because the last time I checked, Baker Mayfield was 40 and 46 as a starter. Mm. That's what he is.
Not great.
Brock, one thing we got to stop doing is penalizing Brock Purdy because of his system. They drafted him there, bro. That's what it is. People always said about Emmitt Smith, he ain't the best running back in football. Barry Sanders is. I agree with that. I think Barry's better than him. But brother did go out there and get them yards.
Yes, sir. All time.
Look at his offensive line.
The most.
All time.
His brother got drafted there. Look at his quarterback. Yeah. Troy was there.
All time.
Michael Irvin. So we got to stop doing that. Because when I look at these, like Jared Goff. Mm. Is he better than Brock Purdy?
Yeah.
If you switched him, would it be that big of a difference? That's my thing. I think it's only a certain amount of quarterbacks that you can switch him and you can see a big difference. Mm-hmm. I think if C.J. Stroud went to the Chiefs, he's going to do well. Mm-hmm. The Bills, he's going to do well. They probably won't do as well as Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen.
Of course.
But to say that Brock Purdy's the last worst one?
Mm-hmm.
This is crazy. That's why I can't even take that serious. And then when I seen it, I blocked it.
You blocked it?
On Instagram, yeah, I blocked it. Yeah.
Just get out of there.
That's why the Raiders can't be good. They got people like
this
that.
This ain't about the Raiders. This is about who.
This is true, though. One time I sent Shady a DM on Instagram. He said, I can't see it. I blocked it. So Shady really do be blocking nonsense.
If it's negative, my counselor, you know my counselor. Yep. She says, yo, I don't do anything with negativity. So I block all negativity, all them little shade, none of that. And then people like her, I don't even follow.
Is it crazy, Joy Taylor? Crazy to say that Brock is the worst remaining quarterback or further. There are seven terrific quarterbacks and Brock Purdy.
Yeah, I don't agree with there's seven.
He was on the show.
I don't agree that there's seven terrific quarterbacks and Brock Purdy. I would give Brock Purdy. I don't agree there's seven terrific quarterbacks and Brock Purdy. I think there's actually terrific, let's say, is a very big word.
It's a huge word.
I think it really only applies to four of the quarterbacks. I think it applies to Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson.
Who's the fourth?
Love.
I'm sorry, three.
I was about to say, I was waiting on the fourth.
I was waiting on CJ or Love.
No, because I think CJ Stroud is incredible.
Yep.
But CJ Stroud is a rookie.
Yep.
So we don't have enough resume yet. If we're going to penalize Brock Purdy, then we got to put CJ Stroud in that category.
Absolutely.
As well. I think that Jordan Love is sort of close to that category also. I don't think Baker Mayfield is terrific. Mm-mm. I think he's a good quarterback, and I wouldn't separate him from Brock Purdy.
Oh.
What I guess is, and then that leaves Jared Goff. I got a lot of respect for Jared Goff. Mm-hmm. I think going to a Super Bowl, if we're gonna not penalize Brock Purdy for a system, then we can't penalize Jared Goff for a system. Mm-hmm. And Jared Goff went to a Super Bowl in another system, and he has his team in the divisional rounds in a new system. Mm-hmm. So I would put Jared Goff based off of resume and the fact that we're not penalizing Brock Purdy for his system. We're not going to penalize Jared Goff either. Jared Goff is better than Brock Purdy at this point in his career, in my opinion, based off of those things. So I disagree with the seven terrific quarterbacks and Brock Purdy part. To say that it's crazy to have Brock Purdy at the bottom, I really think it's a matter of preference and where we're going to move the goalposts. Are we talking about team success? Obviously, you can't poke Brock Purdy at the bottom. Are we talking about resume? Brock Purdy's got to go near the bottom. If we're talking about talent, Brock Purdy's going to go near the bottom. To be the worst, it just... Mm-hmm. Ooh.
No, keep going. My heart hurts.
Hey, can I say one thing?
Hold on, let her finish, big dog.
What I'm saying is not outrageous. We had this conversation in the pre-show meeting. We know who's in the playoffs. Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, we're just going to take completely out of this conversation, correct? We can all agree with that?
Right. Mm-hmm.
They're different. They're special. You got a two-time MVP. Patrick Mahomes is better than everybody in the league, and Josh Allen is special. Mm-hmm. So we don't think anyone is in that conversation with Brock Purdy and those guys, right?
Sure.
Like, he's over there. We're not going to put Brock Purdy in that category. So we're really discussing who's the worst amongst
Love, golf,
Brock Purdy, Jordan Love,
Stroud,
Jared Goff, and CJ Stroud.
Right. And to me, Brock Purdy is not worse in any category of all of that. So if you talk team, Brock Purdy's towards the top three. If you talk resume, Brock Purdy's in the middle. And if you talk talent, Brock Purdy's not the worst. There's not a category that you can try to put Brock Purdy in where he will be worst. Team, he's top three, top four. Resume, he's in the middle of the pack, probably at four. And talent, he's still not the worst. So when I'm looking at Brock, I just don't understand. I said, Baker. Okay. And I love Baker. Y'all know I love me some Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, I would agree, but then who's next?
Who's next? Then I would probably say Goff and Purdy are there to me. They're the same guy. If you put Goff on the Niners, I don't know if the Niners...
So then he's still near the bottom.
Correct, near the bottom, but he's not worse, and that's just one category. That's just one slice of the pie. If you go to resume slice, he in the middle, and if you go to the team success and how he runs his offense, like Shady says, how he runs his system, now he's towards the top. So there's not a world where he is worse at anything.
So like talent. Do we think of like an IQ? Is that part of talent?
Because we always argue about
smart football players.
A-Rod, and we argue about
I think a smart football
Tom Brady,
big
right?
Time, yeah.
So I'm just trying to break it down. So, like we're not looking at all these other quarterbacks, mm-hmm. right? Like, when you talk about talent, so Jordan Love, you would say, is probably more talented than Brock Purdy? Brock Purdy? Mm-hmm. Okay, so, like, Jordan, who was it?
C.J. Stroud?
C.J. Stroud. Mm-hmm. More talented?
More talented. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what is that, the arm throwing and all that?
Yeah.
Because when I watch Brock Purdy, he might not have the talent as, like, the arm and all that, but he's smart as hell.
It counts.
Right?
It counts.
So if that's part of talent, is he at the bottom?
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? Like, we got to look at the whole layer of everything.
Yeah, I wish Amy was right here because...
I don't.
I need a little bit more clarity on this because if she's just strictly talking about talent, then she has a point. If you're talking about a man running his system at an extremely high level with the people around him, then Brock Purdy should be up there. He should be really, really high up there. And he really should be high up there, probably even over guys like Lamar and them. Like, mm-hmm. with what he has
how
around
he
him, if we really
system.
How he runs his system, if we're really keeping a buck. He was up for MVP, too. We cannot forget that. But if she's strictly talking about talent, then yes, he's at the bottom. And the main reason I say that is because 32 NFL teams passed on this dude for talent. If we're talking, they passed on him for talent. He went in the 7th round. So if you're strictly just talking about talent, arm talent, mobile, whatever it is, then he's at the bottom in this bunch, being able
to.
But if you're talking about running a system and playing the football game at a very, very high level, then he's at the top.
Here's my question. At what point does talent matter or not matter? Mm-hmm. Here's why I say this. Brock Purdy is 17-4 as a starter. If you count the playoffs, he's 19-5. How much better could any of these dudes be? Put Lamar on the Ravens. You think they're going tweeting? It's 25-0
on the Niners.
You think he's going 25-0? He's not. Put Josh Allen on the Niners. You think he's going 25-0? He's not. Put Mahomes on the Niners.
So, you think he's going 25-0?
Yes.
No, but what I'm saying is, those three you just named, you're not saying Brock Purdy's better than
him. No, but what I'm saying is, what does it matter? The reason is, at the end of the day, your talent is supposed to translate into wins. Right. And Purdy is 17-4. So how much better could he get? Stroud ain't going to have a better record. Love ain't going to have a better record. Baker, Goff ain't going to have a better record. So we're talking talent, and I don't mind the conversation. Obviously, I enjoy having it, especially with y'all and for the viewers. But at what point is it relevant? Because how much better would any quarterback in football be?
We'll find out. We will find out with Brock Purdy. Because eventually they're going to have to pay him. And they're not going to have the talent around him. They're not going to be able to pay everybody. Now, maybe they'll draft perfectly.
Mm-hmm. They draft well.
Which no one does.
They
draft well. They also use 3 first-round picks on Trey Lance. So sometimes they get it wrong. They didn't because they lucked into Brock Purdy. You get no credit for taking the last pick.
I can't say that.
So then Bill Belichick developed Tom Brady.
Develop and chose is different.
No one gets credit for the last pick in the draft.
I can't say that.
You say that, because they pass on him through six rounds, including the 7th, because he was the last pick in the draft. I don't think it matters when you get the job done. People used to say that Tom Brady wasn't that talented because he was taken in the 6th round.
They still do say that. Don't you say that?
Yeah.
Because talent is relative. When you go and win, is where I would agree with you. When you go and win, especially in the postseason, that changes the conversation. Mm-hmm. But whatever she's defining, I don't agree with. I don't think Brock Purdy is different than half of the field. I put Jared Goff in a different category because we're moving the goalposts for Jared Goff. For some reason, Jared Goff's system with McVay is being held against him, but the system with Brock Purdy is not being held against him. That's ridiculous. Jared Goff took a Detroit team that was terrible and has won a playoff game, and they've improved every single year. Somehow that's against Jared Goff. I don't know why, but I'm saying Jared Goff is better than Brock Purdy at this point. Whatever. One person slide up and down, fine. We're not going to lose our mind about that. I do think, though, whatever the conversation is, will be answered with Brock Purdy. Like, I don't know what Brock Purdy is yet because I don't know. His resume is not long enough for me. Just like C.J. Stroud. I think C.J. Stroud is extremely talented. What's the side?
How long does somebody have to be good until you know who they are? He's been good for a year and a half. He's been good for 25
years. Did I say he was bad?
No, but I'm saying you said you don't know what he is yet.
I don't know what C.J. Stroud is. I don't know what Jordan Love is. I think they're good. We're having a conversation of good to great.
I'm just thinking about, like how much is, and for the quarterback, how much does talent matter for the quarterback? Right? Maybe wide receiver, maybe some running backs, but why for the quarterback? Because, like, you always say, like, and not even you, a lot of people be like, oh, Tom ain't that talented, and they take the Peyton Manning.
I say the same thing. I'm guilty.
But why does that matter, though?
Correct.
Because this
correct.
Dude that's not that talented.
Correct.
Bad body.
Correct.
Right? Big dude. The way he, you know, Tom Brady is Tom Brady. I'm going to say that because he's my boy. I'm going to leave it like that. He wins, though. That's what we care about.
That's
all that matters. So, Brock Purdy can't run like Lamar or he can't be like Johnson, but he's smart. He knows his system. He does it well. And I might be tripping, but I'm going to say this. Out of all the quarterbacks, maybe one or two, he runs the system better than all of them.
Correct. Yeah.
But that's the thing. Like, I think we are all saying the same thing, but we're answering different questions.
Are we?
We are. No, because you're sitting here saying that he's not as talented as these dudes, but he wins. So, like, what is Amy talking about here? Like, if she's strictly talking about talent, brubber at the bottom, period.
But
however you want to slice
it.
Hold on. You guys just talk. Without two of his good players.
Sure.
He went 0-3 and looked garbage.
And who?
In the same system.
That's for everybody.
Like, when we talking about superstar quarterbacks.
Bruh, Josh Allen looked garbage with his good players.
Ooh. Josh Allen got a whole list of. Please don't put Josh Allen and Purdy in
the same conversation. That's what I'm saying. You're not putting Lamar and Purdy in the same conversation. You're not putting Burrow and Purdy in the same conversation. You're not putting Patty and Burrow in the same conversation. He probably got more wins and all that than all of them. But that's what I'm saying, though.
The question for me becomes why. And I think if those that aren't putting Purdy in those conversations, and not Pat, Pat is by himself, and maybe Lamar, two MVPs by himself,
Josh by himself.
But we're guilty then. Because how can Purdy not be in these same conversations as whether it is the Jalen Hurtses or whether it's the Jared Goffs or whether it's the Baker Mayfields or whether it's the, like, how can he not be there?
But didn't we all say he is? None of us are arguing that he's the worst.
So then he's not the worst.
I don't think he's the worst.
I don't think at all.
He's not the worst in running his system. He dang near the best running his system. But that's what she's talking about.
So even running his system, so what does that mean? I remember a while back, a dude named Sean Alexander.
Yep.
And that dude's like, man, he ain't even that talented. I'm like, yeah, he's not. But every time I watch this dude, he gets busy, giving out crazy work. So when I'm asking this question, like, what does talent have to do with anything?
I think this is what it means.
Because Jordan Love, he's talented, but he's still young. Jared Goff, I mean, I hear what you're saying, but, like, ain't nobody's beating on the door. We want Jared Goff.
They got
right?
rid of him.
He's cool. No. Right. With the Super Bowl, I'm just saying.
I think this is what it means.
He's been to a Super Bowl, and then went to the Detroit
But McVay got rid of him.
And they got rid of you.
And then they won it.
Does that sound cool?
Whatever. If you're going to just please keep the standard the same for Brock Purdy and Jared Goff. That's all I'm asking.
I'm just saying.
He runs a system well. Jared Goff ran a system. They got rid of him. And now he has the Detroit Lions, who hadn't won a playoff game in 30 years in the divisional round. So let's just put him in a different category. He played in the Super Bowl. Does that matter?
I can't put him in a different category.
I think this is what Amy is trying to say. Because Amy sounds crazy if she's talking about a guy that runs this system and is 19-5 right. and all that is at the bottom.
Was you there when she was there?
No.
Oh.
Was that?
Was she at the bottom of the list?
That just sounds outrageous. Like, you got to put some respect on Purdy's name and what he's done in his system. But if everybody in these playoffs right here, right now, is standing in this line right here, and they got to throw to all of us on set, all of us that's going to pull hammies and all that type stuff, and they got to lead us to something, and you going off of talent, bruh's going last.
No, it might be him and Baker. On the other side, we're going to answer who's going last.
It's going to be him and Baker.
We got to pay a commercial break. But I got a bone to pick with that.
That's hating on low key though.
High key.
Oh, boy gets busy every game and he's not that good.
That's why I don't think that's what she's saying.
Amy's better at her job.
She literally said he is good.
Oh, I can't do this. Family, it has been tense. Why? Because a former NFL executive said that Brock Purdy is not terrific compared to the other 7 quarterbacks in the playoffs remaining. Quite literally, the quote says, 4 games. 8 quarterbacks, 7 terrific quarterbacks, and Brock Purdy. Now, Brock Purdy is a good quarterback, make no mistake about it. He is. I simply don't put him in the same categories as the others. Okay, swing the jib back around, let's all talk. Here is where I'm at with this. James, if you're saying, and because before the break and during the break, James, you're saying that Purdy's not as talented as the others. The reason I disagree is because I do perceive the mind as an attribute of talent. If you're exclusively talking about physically talented, can he run as well? Is his arm as strong? No. But what Tom Brady, amongst others, Tom Brady is just the ultimate example. What Tom Brady has taught us all collectively is that the mind gotta count for something. So because Brock Purdy has shown us to be one of the best processors in football, plus he's mobile, plus he runs his offense great, but he runs his offense great because he's one of the best processors in football, I have to say that he is as talented as just about all of them QBs, not named Josh Allen, not named Patrick Mahomes, and not named Lamar Jackson.
And that's why I'm agreeing with you guys. If Amy is not strictly talking about waking up with this type of talent, then Brock Purdy's not at the bottom of this list.
Physical talent.
Physical talent. Okay. If she's talking about the way a man runs his operation, he's at the top. She sounds crazy. That's what I'm saying.
Let's stick to that.
She's strictly talking physical talent.
Let's stay there then. Let's say to Amy.
Okay.
Right, let's stick to physical.
Physical talent. He's at the bottom, him and Baker.
Right. Okay, so why is Jared Goff so talented to you? I'm just curious.
I believe Jared Goff's arms talent is better than him. I believe Jared Goff processed the game extremely well. He ran a Sean McVay system at an extremely high level, went to a Super Bowl. Then he came to a Detroit organization who was at the bottom since 1991, and they are playing the same weekend the 49ers are playing. Mm-hmm. So I believe Jared Goff needs to be up there when we talk about that, too, because he ran a system
very Brock's doing the same thing. He got his team playing the number one seed. They didn't play because they're the number one seed for a reason. Yeah. Right? Last year, same thing. The NFC Championship game, they were there because Brock Purdy, so that counts for him. And then,
but you going team? Hold on, we're talking strictly ability.
You just sat here and beat your chest about how my man got his team in the playoffs, win a game since 90. You just
asked me, what does he do better than like more talented?
So Brock Purdy first is more mobile than a lot more mobile than Jared Goff, correct?
Correct.
Okay, processing though. Say what you want about that little dude in San Fran. He processes that football, though, right?
So does golf, though. Golf processes dang near the same offense and went to the Super Bowl.
But when you're telling me that one guy's more talented, I'm just trying to compare
them, right?
Because when I watch them, they both look super smart. They know where to go with the ball. Mm-hmm. Arm strength.
I'm taking golf.
Golf don't wild me with his arm strength. That's not one of the main things you say.
And Purdy does.
But what I'm saying is, for you to say that, that don't wild me.
But is it better than golf's? Is his arm talent better than golf?
Why don't we say they're a wash?
I would say that.
I'll say that.
So let's go to Baker or can I skip him?
No, I put him and Baker at the bottom. Baker.
Shout out to you, Baker, though, but we skipping you.
Okay. Jordan Love.
His arm talent ain't close to Jordan Love.
His arm talent. Cool. Check.
Okay, so I mean, it's more than his arm throws. Like,
he's not more mobile than Jordan Love.
No, he's not, but my man's mobile too, though.
Jordan Love's running a good offensive system as well, too.
Who you think smarter?
I think that's a wash. I think Jordan Love's extremely smart, too.
Can I say this?
Because we're going to go back.
We are really like taking this process
and talent to we're really splitting. We're really splitting hairs.
Tom Brady running flying flat when he throws that ball.
Greatest quarterback that's ever played the game.
And he's not that talented, right?
I actually think his physical talent is way underrated
ball
as well.
Placement,
I think he was very, very, he took care of his body for a reason. He took care of his body. He was never injured. He had one major injury. Took care of his body different. Completely changed how people train for the sport.
But is that talent?
Say he doesn't have any physical talent. Let's just put
that's
Tom Brady. Let's take Tom Brady out. Let's stop comparing Brock Purdy to Tom Brady, please. Let's have a serious conversation. Take Tom Brady out of it, all right? Please, I beg of you.
But it's hard because,
he's Tom Brady. Why are we even having this conversation?
All I'm saying is he's the greatest player of all football. He's not that talented. That's what they say.
I think he's talented.
But talented matters.
He has one of the greatest talents of where to put that football whenever
Brock Purdy is the next Tom Brady. I think we settled it.
How talented was Drew Brees?
But that's what I'm saying.
Oh, wait, no, no, no. Don't be saying that's what I'm saying. Answer the question.
That's a special talent. People are saying Tom Brady.
You see what I'm saying?
That's a special talent to be able to throw the ball and put the ball to where only your dudes can get it every single time.
Hey, real quick, if Kirk Cousins was on this list, right, I'm just oh, is he super talented?
No, I'm just saying.
So if Kirk Cousins, I'm good at this, right? If Kirk Cousins was on this list.
You're not, though. You're not.
I'm saying, but he was, though. He can't even settle on this list.
I don't do those.
Well, I think we can all agree.
Because if Kirk Cousins
this does, is that Baker is
I believe we are all agreeing. Amy's tripping if she's talking about what Brock Purdy does in this system.
I think she's talking about if the system stops working and the defense isn't playing well and you're missing a couple pieces and everything's flying, are you going to be that guy like that?
That's what he is. He showed you he ain't Shane.
I don't care what your card says. I think he's Tom Brady.
All right. Because who's nice in any sport? Who's nice without their guys, though?
Oh, my gosh. Right?
We watching Patrick Mahomes struggle every week.
Struggle.
He ain't good?
Struggle.
His dudes ain't catching the ball.
Y'all didn't even know some of Jared Goff's weapons. I mean, some of Jordan Love's weapons.
That's true. This is why Raiders is never good.
I don't even want to talk about
this. Let's run the topic.
I'm down one.
You down one, bro. Five games left, family. This is where we stand after picking every single game of this football season. James Jones is officially eliminated.
I ain't on your team. I'll take you down.
Oh, seven games left.
Oh, see what you're saying?
Hey, y'all, but look. I've been counting my whole life. I'll be back. I've been counting my whole life.
Shady, this is the week. Okay, these are picks. These are picks for the week.
Come on.
Let me see.
Shady, you better pick something different, bro.
See.
How you going to pick all my same picks? Ooh. I changed your picks.
You picked it. Let's do yo. I told you to change the picks up because he's looking at everything I do.
I was looking at your picks.
Oh. It was crazy. What are y'all going to change? Now you pick the Chiefs?
The Chiefs are winning. Somebody hit me.
I swear to God. Yo, this is yo.
Change your pick.
Yo, watch this. I know what I'm doing.
One of y'all got to change it or it's going to be easy.